Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed. I am, of course, your host, Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley. And, of course, the amazing Ross Allen Skorshevsky. The show... What is that supposed to be?
It's like a Star Trek
it's
sign
the hand.
Or something.
Talk to the hand.
I see you.
Mm-hmm. I see Bobby, and I see Susie.
Okay, do you even know what he's talking about?
What are you talking about?
I see Bobby, and I see Susie.
And I see and Ross, and I see Nancy. Do you know what he's talking
about? That's way before his time.
Old as you guys.
That's way before
Romper
his
room,
time.
Come on.
I'm still hip and cool. And
they would look, she, was it a lady?
Yeah, it was a lady.
She'd look into
different
the
ladies.
Camera, and she'd say, oh, I see Billy and Mark, and you're hoping she'd say your name, because she's really seeing me.
I don't ever remember her saying my name, sadly.
That's why you're so twisted today. Engineering the show, as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray. Engineer extraordinaire, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this incomprehensibly, inertially boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@ markgungor, gungor.com. This is how the show works. You can send an email about anything. Nothing is off limits, hence the warning at the beginning of the show. And then you get to stay totally anonymous. Nobody knows who you are. In exchange, we are brutally honest. That is the premise of the show. This, while every other show in the world is concerned about how you feel, we don't care how you feel. It's just the truth.
We don't care.
Okay? We just don't care how you feel. But we tell people we don't care.
Yes.
Again, we get static from people who listen to the show, who get upset that we're so brutal to people, but they don't get it. They know, the people who engage in the show know this. In fact, when they email us, we email them back. Are you familiar with the program? We will be very brutal. Are you okay with that? Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. So we don't have problems with the people who actually engage in this.
Right.
As brutal
it's
as we may
listeners.
Be. It's some of the listeners. Oh, it's not very nice. Well, just relax a little bit. Everything in Christianity doesn't have to be warm and fuzzy. Jesus wasn't always warm and fuzzy. I know people think he was. Jesus said, if you're having problems with your eyes, pluck it out. Having a problem with your hand, chop it off. That's not exactly warm and fuzzy. In fact, he was so brutal at one point. They couldn't take it anymore. They were following him by the, read your Bible, people. They were following him by the tens of thousands. And at some point, they finally said, man, who can handle this? He's too harsh. And they started leaving him. He turns to his disciples, said, you guys leaving too? They said, well, where else are we going to go? You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. So this idea that Jesus was always nothing but warm and fuzzy is not true. Truth doesn't always have to be couched in ooey-gooey. Now, if you have a bunch of emotional boo-boos, don't email me. But again, it's not the people who engage the program. It's people who listen to the program, they don't get it. Because they'll tune in later or something. You know, they miss the beginning and then they don't, it is.
What are they doing?
You talk about,
he shouldn't
like, this,
say
this
that.
Whole, you know, warm and fuzzy, emotional, you know, Jesus thing. And you would say, he wasn't really that way. I always think, I read this thing one time where, you know, he referenced the scripture Matthew says, where you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? This is Jesus talking. And he said that basically back in that time, that was almost the equivalent of this day of cursing people out.
Okay, he's calling
them a
bunch of snakes.
Yes, you brood of vipers. How can you who are evil? This is Jesus.
Yeah, he's just yelling at them. He takes a whip people into a temple. Now, legally, that's called premeditation in a court of law, okay? Yeah. He goes in with a whip and he's...
Assault with a deadly weapon.
And yes! And when he takes the whip, he's not in there going, la, 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 la.
He wasn't doing a ribbon dance.
It's a ribbon dance.
Let us praise God with the ribbon dance.
Oh, you
and,
got
you know, and then la, 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 la.
That wasn't what he was smacking. He's hitting people.
He actually whipped people with the whip.
I am convinced that the people who get mad about this show and then call, and by the way, if you enjoy this show, if you listen to it on your radio station, watch it on television. If you don't let your stations know you enjoy the show,
we're going to be gone.
We're going to be gone because this show, it's different. No one's ever done this before. Right. Our premise has always been not if we get canceled, but simply when.
Yep.
But if you want to, if nothing else, we'll stay on the internet. But if you want us to stay on, you've got to let them know. Because I promise you, the people who call and complain are the ones who get, that's not very nice. I am convinced the people who complain and say that this show isn't very Christian would say Jesus wasn't very Christian.
Correct. The Son of God.
Man, I'm, you know, like
they don't say that.
No, they do say that.
They say Jesus wasn't very Christian.
No, they say we're not. It's not a very Christian show. Oh. But I'm saying they would say that about Jesus, which is absurd.
Yes.
Because their idea of Christian is not true version of Christianity.
Right.
Well, that's not very Christian. Why? Because he went and he was hitting people. He was hitting people with a whip. That's not very Christian. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. Jesus said you're having trouble. If you're struggling with your eye, if your eye's getting in new trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Look out of your head. I mean, how nice is that?
Not very nice.
So maybe Jesus was just losing it. Maybe he was just, fed up.
Jesus was Jesus.
This idea that everything has to be sensitive and reflective, and we know you're really struggling, and la, 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 is nice, but it is not. If you read your Bible, it's not the Jesus you think you believe in, because he was pretty direct and strong. He was also very compassionate, too.
He was.
Yes.
It wasn't always that. But, you know, this idea that if it's only warm and fuzzy is not biblical is absurd thinking. Again, these are people who don't read the Bible. They read about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their problem.
If you
they read pieces.
No,
yeah, they read pieces of it. They just read pieces of it. This little favorite verse and this little favorite verse, and and it's always the warm and fuzzy stuff, and not the stuff that that's very strong.
I mean, not to be self-promoting and to plug you, but if anybody wonders what Jesus said, they should go to the website, the church website, and listen to your sermon series going through Matthew. Maybe they've never heard it.
You're promoting him.
I'm promoting him. I mean, promoting us, self-promoting
not
us.
To be self-promoting,
I think everyone should promote me.
No, I know. Look, it wasn't promoting me, but not just to... But
it's not about
me
and it's not about us. It's just read your Bible.
Yes. Bible,
okay, this idea... I mean, John the Baptist, they cut off his head for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He hacked somebody off.
And it was about marriage.
Yes, it was.
Herodias
mm-hmm.
had married his sister-in-law,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of Christians today would say, well, it's okay.
They really loved each other.
They love each other. And John the Baptist gets in their face and got Herod so mad they... Well, his wife's so mad
because
he's basically calling her a whore because he's a whore. At this point, this is totally illegitimate. First chance she gets him to cut off his head.
Yeah. She didn't like what
didn't
he had
John
to say.
John also refer to people as, you belong to your father, the devil?
Actually, Jesus said that. You belong to your father, the devil. But John went around. He said, well, when people would come to repent, at our church, someone comes in our church, everybody welcomes people to your church. Welcome to our church. Mm-hmm. We're so glad that you're here, blah, 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 okay? When people came to John the Baptist, he said, who warned you guys?
What are you doing here?
That's what he said. What are you doing here? Who warned you to flee the wrath to come, you bunch of snakes? You need to prove that you're going to, don't tell me you just believe in God. Show fruits of repentance. Prove that you're really a believer.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine if someone said that in a church
today?
Oh, good
Lord.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
there would be wrath.
Of serpents.
So look, I'm not advocating everybody just walk around and be as mean as they can to people. All I'm saying is there is certainly a place for direct, to the point, harsh talk
mm-hmm.
to the faith community. Now, we do it. We do it in the safety of anonymity. Nobody knows who they are. So just check your medication and relax. Anyway, yeah, it's amazing how much of the show we got to spend time just explaining the show. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and jump in with your emails right after this.
Sign up for Mark's newsletter for your chance to win a Kindle Fire. Visit laughyourway.com.
And we are here, this podcast of the Mark Gunger Show. We're doing another plug for our sponsor. We have a new sponsor. Of all the sponsors we have. Actually, this is the only one.
The only one.
No, actually, we have a new sponsor with Fave Television, Family and Values Entertainment. We haven't got to it yet.
Yes.
We'll get there. But anyway, this podcast today is being brought to you by Audible.com. They're our first sponsor. Let's hear it for them. They are the leading provider of audiobooks with over 100,000 downloadable titles from all across all types of literature.
Literature.
You want to be educated. Now, so you want to be educated. You don't have time to read, right? Right? So get an audiobook. Pop it in. You can listen to it. And you become educated that way automatically. It has fiction, nonfiction, periodical. What category are we in? We're probably nonfiction.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're not a book.
We're not a book, actually, yeah.
We need to get your book on there, though.
We should, but I can't imagine me sitting down and reading my whole book out loud.
I know, but you need to, because in your voice, it'll be the best.
I can't imagine just reading my book. I don't know if I've ever actually read my whole book in one sitting. It took forever to write it.
Do you ever read a book in its entirety in one setting?
On occasion, but not very often.
How many pages?
I'm not a big reader. Well, at least one page. That's the beautiful of Audible.com.
You don't
have to read. You just listen. You don't have to. All you guys out there, you need to get this information. You don't need to read.
That's why you need to put it on audio. Your book.
And so Audible.com. And check it out for the Mark Gunger Show listeners, because we have such power, such influence on the world. They are giving our listeners a free audiobook of your choice. A free book. You can go and pick any book you want and listen to the whole, and you get it for absolutely free. And a 30-day free trial membership. All you have to do is go on to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger, G-U-N-G-O-R, okay? audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. Some great books in Audible. There's 100,000.
Oh, yeah.
There's a gazillion. But some of them are a little crazy, but... look for the good ones.
Yes.
Grace-Based Parenting by Tim Kimmel.
Yes, he's our friend.
We know Tim. He's a great guy. He actually reads it. Ken Davis, his book, Fully Alive, Lighten Up and Live. We love Ken Davis. Ken, he's crazy. He's a hilarious.
I would get that book. Oh, he's hilarious.
You should take the free thing and go on.
I should.
I should go to my own website and get my own free book and listen to Ken Davis.
I want to.
Just go to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. I think I'm going to do it so I can get Ken Davis's book for free and then laugh and tell him, I got your book and I didn't pay for it. Ha-ha! All right, check it out.
There's no denying what I see standing right there in front of me. I've been walking around it. It ain't no use. I am convinced that mountain's gonna move.
Mark's got too many shoes.
Blinded by truth. My eyes are gonna move that mountain, it's one rock at a time.
You're back with the Mark Gunger Show. Listen to the sounds of Jimmy Bratcher. You can check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. Go to iTunes, download his music. Great stuff.
Apparently, Ryan Lochte, the Olympic swimmer, has 130 pairs of shoes.
Really?
That was a big deal during the Olympics when they were talking about 130 pairs
bad.
Of shoes. Just saying.
I'm not that bad. I'm working on it. Give me another week.
Imelda Gunger over here. Okay, ready for the first email, Imelda?
Yes, I am, yes.
Okay, she says, I am the adult daughter of a Christian couple who were married some 20-odd years. Love grew cold, and my dad decided to separate and later divorce. He is now engaged to be married to another woman, but I believe that in doing so, he is acting contrary to the Bible. I have attempted to discuss the matter with my dad and his fiancée, but they are not interested in hearing or discussing any challenge.
Do you think?
What, then, is the appropriate and biblical way forward in this? On the one hand, I am opposed to the marriage, but I think it is more valuable to retain and build a relationship I have with them than to make any further issue of it. There are lots of articles available regarding divorce and remarriage, but they seem to be all directed at the couple or the leaders and pastors. I cannot find any that relate to a friend or adult child's
role. So his
dad
got divorced.
Yep.
Why did he get divorced?
Because love grew cold. And
that's
dad
it.
Decided
love
to separate
cold.
And later...
Were they Christians?
Yes. Yep. Says
okay.
Daughter of a Christian couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's get a bunch of people mad.
Mm-hmm. Of course it will.
When you hear this. I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go to the wedding.
Right.
That's where she's trying to balance.
I just,
destroyed
no.
the relationship?
No, you're not going to, you know. Look, Jesus said, don't think I came to bring peace. What? See, I'm telling you, people don't read the Bible. They don't. Mm-hmm. The version of Christianity we've come up with today is not, I'm telling you, New Testament Christians would not recognize American version of Christianity today. They wouldn't even know what we're talking
go,
about.
What? What?
Jesus said, don't think I came to bring peace. What? Jesus came so everybody could get along. He said, don't think that way. Jesus said, don't think I came so everybody could get along.
And right after that,
that's
what
our
he says?
Lord, our Savior, the one we should be serving and honoring, said, do not think I came to get everybody to get along. He says, I came to turn a father against
that's
a
right.
son,
mother.
A daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Why? Because at some point you choose the right thing, it's going to mm-hmm. cause separation.
Mm-hmm.
So when she's singing, well, you know, I disapprove. And look, there's a difference between how you act towards people of faith and people who are not of faith. If your dad, as a professing Christian, blatantly disobeys the Bible, divorces your mom for no biblical reason, and decides he wants to marry another Ho Chi Mama, if it were me, I wouldn't go to the wedding. Oh, that's my opinion. Incredible. There's a million of you who are mad already. Oh, that's terrible. Look.
And you know what they'll say to you?
Start your own stinking show. All right? He wants my advice. I wouldn't go. Well, it might separate. Yeah, you're right. It
yes.
might. Don't think I've come so that everybody can get along, is what Jesus said.
And lots of people will call her, it's a girl writing in, lots of people will call her mean and judgmental and
yeah,
condemning.
I know.
Yes, they will. That's what they'll call her.
Oh, no, just, so what?
Yeah. So what?
Because you're not to judge.
Do
not judge.
Why does everybody care what everybody thinks of them? I promise you, if I cared what people thought of me, I wouldn't do what I'm doing. I wouldn't do my seminars the way I do them. I wouldn't preach in my church the way I do. I wouldn't do the show the way I do. This right. show would look and sound like mm-hmm. Focus on the Family and every other. Not those
if
guys are bad, I'm just saying, but everybody.
Which is different.
It doesn't have to all be the same because those are safe. They do everything safe by their own admission. I know these guys are nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be real careful and stuff. I don't care. Which is why this show will probably get canceled.
Because you don't care.
And if it does.
At least
you don't care.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, what are you going to do? You know, now. An unsaved, a non-Christian
that's
dad,
different.
That's different.
You've said that many times. Go show your support, la, la, la. But
yeah,
when they're Christians.
Just be nice. But when they're blatantly doing something that is so wrong and you've communicated with mm-hmm. them that it's wrong and they do it anyway, you know, do what you want. I mean, there's no rule one way or the other. I'm just saying, you want my opinion? I would not go. I know I wouldn't go.
And it's going to wreak havoc. Just be prepared because.
Yeah.
It's going to raise some ire.
Now, I don't know all the details. Mm-hmm. If the dad comes and says, you know, Susan, what I did was wrong. I ask you to forgive me. I've gone to your mom and I've asked her to forgive me. You can't unscramble eggs at this point. I've asked God to forgive me. I know it's a little different ballgame, you know. But if he literally is saying, oh, it's fine, and just mm-hmm. love got cold, and at this point, that man, at a minimum, owes his wife an apology for divorcing her, owes his children an apology for running them through that emotional hell. And if he, and certainly owes God, if you're a Christian,
yes.
you owe God and a whole bunch of people an apology. And if you're willing to repent and make it right, all right, then I'd catch you some slack and I'd go to the wedding.
If a guy can actually do that, if he can go to his ex and apologize, I think to myself, if a guy can do that, he can fight to make it work with that person. Because to step up and humble yourself and take a big old slice of humble pie and say, I'm sorry, why wouldn't you then
Oh yeah, and it depends. It depends. Is she gone
maybe
now?
She's remarried or something?
Right. If she had, you're right. At that point,
yeah.
He should be more worried about making it right with his wife.
Yes. Yeah.
Why is he dating some other Ho Chi Mama?
And if you're going to apologize to your children, apologize to your wife, you're going to repent and you know make it right with God, then you probably shouldn't marry the new one. Do you think? Or do you think that he gets a pass on that?
No, if there's still a way for him to make it right, I think he should go make it right. If it's too late, you know? And look, all these things get really complicated, people. All I know, don't get mad at me. Jesus, the one we claim to be following here, he's the one who said, if a man divorces his wife for any other reason than sexual immorality and marries another, he's committing adultery. Jesus said that. Go yell at him. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Street to nowhere, like a dog in the rain, I've lost the scent. Where I'm headed is a memory. Where I'm going looks like where I've been. This Coupe de Ville's seen a whole lot of miles, all going in the wrong direction. The lead foot of my youth has passed me by, and I wish somebody else would try.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Grooving to the tunes of Jimmy Bratcher. All right.
Okay, this email is written by a husband. He says, my wife and I really enjoy your show. We've been married for 14 years, first marriage for both of us. We are really struggling in the area of sex in our marriage. It has only been in the last few years that I think I'm understanding why. I was a virgin when we were married. This is the husband, remember. Uh-huh. My wife was not. She was sexually active with two long-term boyfriends in college. I was aware of this when we were dating. She told me about her entire past. My response when she told me was that Christ had forgiven her for that when she became a Christian prior to our dating, and that I forgave her too.
Okay.
For most of our marriage, our sex life has been a struggle. About 3 years ago, we were at a marriage conference, and the speaker made a point that couples should not have any secrets from each other. And my wife confessed that she has not been physically attracted to me for many years. She still loves me, but is not attracted to me sexually. That's a whole nother issue, but okay, here's the question. Since that time, I've heard you, Dr. Dobson, and others talk about how premarital sex, especially for women, causes them to be unable to bond sexually with their husbands after marriage. I believe God will help us.
It makes it more difficult for them.
Yes.
It's not that it's unable.
He believes God will help to restore this to some extent. What do you recommend? Do you think this requires counseling, or with prayer and time, can our sex life be restored to what God intended it to be?
What's wrong with their sex life?
He's a virgin when they got married, and she had a previous experience.
Yeah, but what's he say there's a problem? What problem? He didn't say there's a problem.
Yeah.
They've just struggled.
Well, everybody struggles.
I'm sorry, I didn't ask what the...
Everybody struggles.
My bad.
Who does
Should
not
have
struggle?
Asked specifically what the struggles were. I was just guessing that she didn't want it as much, didn't... It was more this whole
and
thing.
You, there again,
she
you said just described she's not, most people's
but
marriage.
But we're also assuming, though, that
well,
this
she says
is
she's not physically attracted to him.
Okay, now that's a
the,
problem.
I think
okay.
that's the issue.
Okay, now I would love to know who this marriage seminar he went to. I won't mention it by name.
I assume that was
is
the
not
issue.
Not physically attracted to him?
That's what she said
no,
to
no,
him.
No, but wait.
I know, I'm just saying.
Wait. This marriage seminar stuff, these guys who go around and they tell people to write down on a piece of paper, write down the five things you dislike the most about your spouse, or hold no secrets from each other. These people are morons. I don't know who goes to their seminars or why they're even allowed to give seminars. This stuff is destructive. I've seen more couples who have told me, and people who have actually told me that they actually ended in divorce because they went to some Christian marriage seminar that advocated this kind of stupid thinking.
Absolutely.
Good
who would
Lord.
Want to hear this?
I don't want my wife to write down the five things she hates the most about me.
And
I don't want to know.
It wouldn't be just five. In my
yeah,
home.
That's 50. I have page after page after page. After
I
page
might have two or three. Jeez.
I'm assuming
good
it's
grief.
This that she's not physically attracted, that he's attributing to the
no,
lack of bonding.
No, but I'm just saying there's no reason to be talking like that. I mean, seriously, what was accomplished by that? See, this guy, I'm not even talking about their problem. I'm going off on the guy doing the seminar.
Yeah.
I don't know who this nitwit is doing this marriage seminar, but this idea, what are people think they're accomplishing by getting couples to emotionally vomit all over each other? If you really think your spouse is a little, let's say you think your spouse thinks you're just unattractive.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to know that.
What is fixed in saying that? What is
nothing.
It? How about you shut up? How about you value each other?
Right.
Whether you feel like it or not. I mean, at some point, how attractive do you think this is? I mean, at some point, you get older, things sag, you start getting overweight, you start losing hair. From a natural standpoint, there's a million other people that's more attractive than your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
What is accomplished by telling people, you need to say stuff like that? Well, I just don't find you all that attractive. How is that helping anybody?
Caution, The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
I know that there's a refuge.
You're listening, watching, whatever, The Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Got an email from someone here who, you know, went to a marriage seminar, and whoever the nitwit who does a marriage seminar was encouraging people to be overall open with each other and share every little thing. And then his wife says, well, you know, I don't find you very sexually attractive. Well, so now he's reeling from that. I don't understand what this idea of brutal, you know, we're sure about brutal honesty.
Yeah.
But in a relationship, I mean, you think all kinds of things about yourself. There's, I mean, come on. I suppose the rest of you guys are also holy and spiritual and righteous. None of you think frustrating things with your spouse at times. I'm sure there's times my wife thinks, I want to strangle him to death. You know, when you're, you know, you look like a slob, you're smelly. Who says, gee, I find that really attractive.
No, not so much.
And there's phases of life and you grow older and, oh my gosh, your wife's going through chemo, puking her guts out, bald as a cucumber. Gee, should I share?
Yeah.
You know, you're not
all really that attractive to me right now.
How is this helpful to people?
It's not. It's very destructive. Very destructive.
How about you don't share every little thing that comes into your head?
This poor guy, now he's for 3 years now been sitting knowing that I'm not attractive to her.
Here's the thing. She needs to be a husband. All you people right now who you haven't told your spouse and you think, you know, I don't find my husband or my wife sexually attractive. So what? Shut up. Be nice. You made a promise. Love the girl. Be nice. Be there for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Be lovers to each other. Everybody is so driven in this country by how they feel. And it is an unmitigated disaster. You know, as far as this guy, you know, you need to sit down and talk with your wife and just, you know, you're just going to have to cut her some slack and just, you know, write it off to that idiot at that seminar who told you to be this brutally honest. You know, say, you know, we can love each other. It doesn't matter how you feel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And if she's
basing
it off of her feelings and if that's why they've struggled in sex because she's not feeling attracted to him.
Well, he's saying it's because she was sexually. Well, it could.
It could be.
But even that, it doesn't mean. It's Dobson's right. I'm right. Lots of people. Studies have shown that the more sex women have, the harder it is for them to connect with the next guy. The harder.
You still have sex.
You still do it. You still can connect. It's just harder. You have to be more intentional. Yeah. Marriage is hard as it is. People make it much harder by doing the wrong things. The idea that because my spouse has had sex before me, that they cannot connect with me, that is not true. So just relax and listen to what you're hearing here. You're saying it's harder. It's not impossible. There's lots of things that are harder. It would be harder for some of you to make a living if you never graduated high school.
You can still make a living.
You can still make a living. Some of us have never really even been through college. We still make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Was it harder? Yeah, it was harder. There's all kinds of things that are harder.
But not impossible.
Not impossible. My whole life is nothing but harder.
I know.
Talk about doing things the unconventional way. So, you know, so quit carrying this thing over your head. Oh, gee, my spouse had sex before us. Now we can't. No one said you cannot connect. It's harder. It just means you have to be more intentional. She, as a woman who has been with other men, and all the other women who've done this, you're going to have to be more intentional to your spouse, all the more reason to make love to them and connect with them. Don't write off, well, I just don't feel that attractive to you. And still, I'm mortified that she would go to a seminar that encouraged that kind of talk. And I've seen it.
I know. I have to. I've known friends and I've known people who won't do it. I know.
But there are seminars that go, write down the things, ten things you don't like the most. I don't know what idiot who has a PhD thinks
that's beneficial.
That this is helpful. They clearly, clearly are foolish people.
I want to know if they practice this exercise with their own wives.
I don't know. Who knows? They're just weird people anyway. There are things I don't like about my wife I have never told her.
Right.
Why would you?
I'm not going to tell her. There's no... What's accomplished by that?
Nothing.
There's some things you have to bring up, you know?
But
I'm sure there's things my wife... I don't want to know. What all it does is bring wounds in her. Yes. And then people wonder why they can't stay married.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This whole idea that you got to be brutally honest with each other. You got to share every little thing. It's absurd. Mm-hmm. I've been married for 40 years. People say, how have you been married for 40 years? Because we're not honest with how we feel. I don't tell her every little thing comes in my head. And there's times she's a hot mama to me. Another time she's not a hot mama to me. So what?
You don't tell her.
You don't even live in that world. Who cares? Your husband's passing gas and... has a brush of his teeth and there's a booger hanging out of his nose that he's not aware of. And you look at that, my guess is that's not highly attractive.
No.
Now you might want to tell him, by the way,
go clean up.
You have a booger hanging out of your nose. Honestly. Anyway, to this guy, just relax, dude. You can still have a great marriage. You know how you have a great marriage? Intentionally. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter I feel more attractive. Who cares? God, I mean, come on. How many guys, if J-Lo walks in the room, isn't going to feel more attracted to her?
Of course you will. Of course you will.
I'll feel very attracted. You know, and there's people who think this way because they feel something, they act on it.
Yes.
We are not animals. We do not act and live by how we feel. Those of you who are going to continue to live by how you feel, your life will continue to be a disaster.
This causes me to have a thought about this. They say that it's harder for women to bond. And I get there's the whole research and the oxytocin and all of that. But like her, she had sex with two guys in college and girls who are out there having sex. I wonder if some of this isn't because of their feelings, because they're just feeling attracted and they're feeling attracted to the next one and they're feeling to the next one. And then you get married and it eventually goes away. I wonder how much of it is oxytocin and how much of it is they've just spent years living by their feelings. And that's why they're having a hard time in their marriage. Does that make sense? Do you know what it is I'm saying?
I'm telling you, the thing that is destroying marriages today, people live by their feelings and are convinced you have to do your feelings. We talked about in the show about, you know, when couples are separated, well, they have to masturbate. No, they don't. Well, what are they going to do? Because you feel it, you have to do it. Yeah. Everything everybody feels. Guys who say, well, I can't stop looking at porn. What do you mean you can't stop looking at porn? What they're saying is I can't stop feeling like I want to look at porn. Well, that's different.
Yeah.
But everybody, I'm telling you, guys, any area of life that you live by your feelings, you'll be a disaster. I mean, who feels like working?
No.
Who feels like studying in school? Who feels like exercising? Nobody feels like doing those things. You don't even ask your musicians who practice over and over and over. Who feels like doing those drills? They're brain dead. They're obnoxious.
But I think a lot of these women have practiced and rehearsed relationship after relationship based on sheer feelings.
So I understand.
When they get married, oh my gosh, the feelings aren't there, so something must be wrong.
Yes.
And it could be chemical, this oxytocin business, but I think some of it is just that they've rehearsed year after relationship this feeling nonsense.
Okay, but whatever it is, as far as I'm concerned, is irrelevant. Whether it's oxytocin, whether it's because they've rehearsed relationship, you just stop living by how you feel. You do the right thing, especially if you're Christian people. You do the right thing. As long as you keep living by how you feel. Who feels like praying? Nobody. Who feels like giving money to the church? Nobody. Who feels like fasting? Anybody fast recently? There's a lot of fun. Nobody feels like doing... Well, look at America today. People don't fast. They don't give money. They hardly ever go to church.
Because they don't feel like it.
They're real community Christians. They're out there fornicating, masturbating, all the other Aitons. Because we have created a culture of people who live by how they feel. You roll the clock back 100, 150 years, people in America would not recognize the culture. Because people did all kinds of things they didn't feel like doing. They did the right thing. They learned what the right thing was, and they just did it. And their lives were better and richer for it. Mm-hmm. Somehow with this idea that, gee, it's better that we live by how we feel. Look at people's lives today. They're disasters. They're not happy. They're miserable. They're second-guessing each other, telling each other, gee, I don't find you very attractive anymore. I don't like you. Or I liked another woman over there because she's got a nicer butt than you got. You used to have a nice butt, but your butt's kind of gone now. What's it?
And these are adults, and then we wonder why our
young then the kids. Oh my goodness!
Is so destined to fail based upon this.
It's quit living by how you feel, yeah. And don't go around telling your spouse everything you feel. You go to some marriage seminar, they tell you to sit down, write on everything you feel. Get up and walk out. Come to my seminar. It's more fun anyway. All right, enough of that nonsense. We'll be back with more of your emails right after this.
Do you want Mark to come to your city? Visit laughyourway.com.
You're back with the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. What else you got?
Hi, Mark, Dine, and Ross, longtime listener, first-time writer. Hail Gungoria, he says.
Hail Gungoria!
I'm writing to you guys today because I'm faced with a difficult choice and was hoping you might be able to shed some light on which path might be the best to take.
All right.
He's from Australia.
Okay.
She's originally from a little town in Iowa. They're newly married.
Mm-hmm.
They got married last year. They have a six-month-old. To date, his parents, because they live in Australia, have had lots of time. They live 5 minutes down the road seeing the new baby.
Mm-hmm.
But the wife's parents, because they're back in the States, haven't even seen the baby yet. So they've ended up in a situation where they are living with his mother. He said mother. I don't know if his parents are divorced or whatever. But he's with the in-law, with his parents. She's with the mother-in-law. He says, I'm well aware that my wife and mother will eventually kill each other. Who could live with their mother-in-law for an extended period of time anyway, if under the same roof? So the idea came up for my wife and daughter to head over to the U.S., for, 4 or 5 months and stay with the grandparents here. And then he was going to come over here and join them later at a time after he's got enough money to save for a house and they can go back to Australia together. But he's worried, his question is, he's worried about not seeing the daughter for 3 months, especially in this early stage of life. Would the father-daughter bond get wobbly at this time if I'm not around to reinforce it daily? Would Skyping regularly help her remember me? And how will this affect our marriage, especially since we've only been married about 12 months? Is this a bad idea? He says, please give it to me straight. I can handle it.
Of course it's a bad idea. Separating from your spouse for 4 months at a time? How's that a good idea? What do you expect?
I think he'd rather have her over here than killing his own mother when they're all living in the same house together.
Well, no one's going to kill each other. That's absurd. It's an exaggeration. Oh, she literally is going to kill each other. Then yes, you should get out. But you should get out too. Someone's going to kill somebody.
There might be some problems there.
Will your daughter recognize you? No, she will not. She's 3 months old. You go away for 10 days and come back. They're not going to recognize you, Is that damaging to the father-daughter bonding? I don't know that that's that important at 4 months old.
Yeah.
Not like with the mother. The reality is, guys, all the guys know this, in that first year, you're kind of like window dressing to that kid's life. So I don't think it's good. But I'm no expert on child rearing. You have to go write somebody else on all that stuff. But what's the matter with people? You guys, life isn't hard enough, and then you do stuff. What do you think when you're from Australia and your wife is from Iowa? What do you think is going to happen? And my advice has always been, don't drag the girl away from her family. So what about my family? Well, what about it? You know, better to keep the girl near her family. Don't quit marrying girls. If you want to live in Australia, marry a girl from Australia. If you want to live in Iowa, marry a girl from Iowa. You want to live in L.A.? Marry a girl from L.A. Quit getting a girl from New York City and dragging her across the country to live in L.A. You want to live in Green Bay, Wisconsin? Marry a girl from Green Bay. Quit getting some girl from Alabama and dragging her 1,000 miles away from her family. And just because then life's going to be hard. You guys are just starting.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till that kid gets a little bit older and the pressures, and she's going to start feeling this need to connect emotionally with her friends and family. And now she's a gazillion miles away in Australia. There's nothing to do about it at this point. Well, my advice, move over here. Move to Iowa, keep her near her family, get a job over here.
And you go visit your parents.
And visit your parents from time to time. I mean, I say, well, that's going to create a problem. Well, that's why.
Yeah.
You
well, you
don't
got a problem
marry
already.
Marry a girl from the other side of the world. What the heck is the matter with people? Well, we're in love.
Sure
yeah,
they are.
How far is that going to carry you when all this starts hitting the fan?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to do about it at this point. You know, life is what it is. Should you separate now for 4 months, which could turn into 8 months, which could turn into 15 months, which could turn into her having an affair with some other guy because you haven't been around, or you boinking some bimbo and they're, oh, I don't know what happened. Honestly, you single people, think this through. There's nothing we can do for this guy. These guys are going to have one complicated life. There's just going to be with family.
Yeah,
it is. It's not the end of the world. You can still make it work. It's going to be hard. My advice, move to Iowa. Keep the girl near her family. All you single people, quit dragging these girls away from their families. Now, there's always exceptions. If you didn't like her family and wants to get away, then that's...
Mm-hmm. That's just send her for a two-week visit and bring her back to Australia just to visit.
Yeah, what is a four? Who needs grandma and grandpa for a 4 month visit? What is that?
I think it's a combination of visiting them because they haven't seen the baby and getting her away from the mother in law and give him time to get the money for a house.
Just be nice. It's your parents' house. Tell your wife to chill out. What do you think, you goofballs, when you move into somebody else's house? Well, they're going to have different rules to do. You're in their house.
Mm-hmm.
When someone moves into your house, they got to do your rules. You're going to die because the mother-in-law is this, that, and the other? Honestly! Just makes me mad.
You are. You're quite irritated by this.
Well, this...
I didn't expect that.
Well, I'm irritated just because of what they did in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to kill each other. Really, you're not enough of a controlled human being. You can just be polite in somebody else's home. Well, I don't like it. Well, so what? We all don't like things. Suck it up. Be polite. Mm-hmm. Your answer is now to separate. Iowa and Australia. For months, you guys are headed for a disaster. You weren't thinking before you got married. Now you're still not thinking. Stop it. Use your brains. You don't separate for 4 months at a time. There's no reason in the world she can't get along with your mom. And she wants to go visit her mom. I get it, but this is what you guys signed up for. My advice, move to Iowa. Keep her near her family. I don't think any of this advice is helping you at this point. You're like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be really, 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 really hard. That's what happens when you... It's hard enough just Alabama and Michigan.
It's hard enough when y'all in the same town.
I know, but I just people don't think, you know. Mm-hmm. They're all getting the whole feelings, you know. Oh, we're in love and it's gonna be glorious, and you know, they live on the other side of the world, and she's close to her family, and I've lived close to my family over here, and we both speak different languages, and you know, and so it's good, but we're in love.
The Beatles and said all you need is love, and that's what people believe.
All you need is love, the Beatles, and then they broke up after they sang the song. I mean,
is that
you know people think that. They just think, but we love each other, that'll overcome everything. They think that. You know darn well that they do.
Look, you don't separate for 4 months, and that's a minimum. That's if everything goes perfectly. It's absurd. You goofball. Well, she's going to kill my mom. Just seriously... irritating. Take a break. We'll come back.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
I open up my heart and give in to my soul. Every time it happens.
This is the Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Answering your emails and try not to get overly frustrated while doing so.
Are you ready to move on?
I think so.
I'm not sure, but okay.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of stuff from the sea. Do the math. I didn't do the math. Mm-hmm. Each other, they've been married how long?
He said nearly a year.
Nearly, not quite a year. Right. And the kid is how old?
6 months.
Do the math on that, folks.
Yeah.
You guys say you've been living by my principles? I don't think so.
Nearly all of your concepts. Well, there's a big one missing there.
Or she wouldn't have gotten pregnant before you got married. Mm-hmm. You know?
And maybe she was pregnant. They had to get married. She had to choose Australia because it all happened it happened.
Okay. It just means your life's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. Talk about just getting used to whatever it is. Just get used to it and move on and deal with it. But this idea of separating for 6 months, 4 months, what is absurd and crazy. You guys are going to end up in a disaster. You guys are set up for a rough haul, okay? People don't think. They don't think. Again, my advice, move to Iowa. Keep your wife near her family.
I was telling Nancy during the break, I know two other couples that she was from the States, he was from Australia. They met when she was in Australia. They tried to do the living in Australia thing. Both of them ended up back in the States living here because they needed to be by both of those girls' families. Personally, I know two couples that that's happened to.
I'm telling you, dragging the girl away from this is something that people are not giving these single people advice on. You want to live in Australia? Marry a girl from Australia. You want to live in L.A.? Marry a girl from L.A. You want to live in Washington State? Marry a girl from Washington State. Quit taking these girls and dragging them a gazillion miles away from their families. It will do nothing but bring you grief. Is it doable? Yes, it's doable. Is it hard? Yes. If you're good with hard, these people, their life isn't over. They're not ending divorce. It's just...
But they want to do something that creates difficulties, but then they want it to be easy.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. Your life's going to bite. Okay, you set this up. It's okay. So what? Suck it up. Everybody has to be happy and peaceful. Everybody has to get, and be convenient all the time. I just get irritated. Move on.
Okay. I don't know if we can squeeze this one in. We'll try. So last week, parenting question. So last week in the pool, my 7-year-old daughter informed her father that she, when she gets the pool on the jets on the pool, just in the right place, it feels so good. Uh-huh. I recognize that there isn't anything inherently sexual in her discovery, but I'm struggling with the balance between telling her those feelings are special, created by God, and private, and that they should be saved to share with her husband. I don't want to
How
make
old
her
is she?
Feel seven. I don't
just,
want to make
okay, her... Okay, don't read anymore. Mm-hmm. Just relax, lady, okay? She's seven. If she's still doing this in 5 years, then you got some issues, okay? Wait till she's older. Talk this stuff through. And what part is she talking about? How does she know she's talking about her woo-hoo? Did she say it was her woo-hoo? Mm-hmm. It was her butt.
I don't know.
Feels good. Just sit in your rear. I don't know. Just she's seven.
Don't
dump a bunch of heavy stuff on her. Just say, don't do that. So that's all you gotta say. Just relax, people. Honestly. All right, we'll see ya.
Bye, bye, boy.
Have fun storming the castle.